Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. In 2013, the Mayo Clinic repeated a survey they did in 2002 to determine any trends that were occurring among those who were having sleep difficulties. Once again, a certain proportion of these respondents to the survey said that their pets were waking them up or interfering with their sleep. What's changed, though, is the percentage. In the 2002 study, only 1% of those who responded to the survey noted that their pets disturbed their sleep. By 2013, it was up to 10% of the people. Naturally, I had to think about that. You know, what has changed? What could cause animals to wake their owners up more in 2013 compared to 2003? I imagine that if you ask a sleep-deprived person why this was occurring, they would blame it on the animals. They would say the animal was wandering around, or the dog said she needed to go out. But is that the whole story? If we step back and we look at the whole picture, people who have sleeping disorders often aren't working at their optimum. We all know that if we don't get enough sleep, it affects our ability to do our work the next day. The cat is racing around the house and knocking things over. Okay, so we know that our inability to sleep. Do you want to go out? Is that what you're trying to tell me? All right. Where was I? We all know that if we don't get enough sleep, it affects our ability the next day. It affects our ability to cope with things emotionally. It affects our ability to think clearly. Because of that, I think we need to take into account the effect of the results of sleep deprivation in humans on animals. People who can't work at their prime for whatever reason are going to be more anxious than those who can. People who can't cope emotionally are going to be more anxious than those who can. So what we're really talking about here is a co-created phenomenon. We have more anxious people who conceivably will have more sleep disturbances. At the same time, their increased activity in their sleep may awaken their pets, or their anxiety in the waking state will shift the protective responsibility from them to their animals. And if the dog lacks the ability to handle it, that dog is going to patrol. That dog is going to ask to go out, not because the dog has to pee, but to satisfy him or herself regarding a sound or a scent that the dog detected outside. And that dog may have more medical problems, which also may make the person more anxious. And so we have this holistic human-animal medical condition. It's not just that the people have sleep problems, it's that the animals also have sleep problems and that they're affecting each other. Logic says that if we want to treat these problems, we need to treat the whole problem. The problems that are occurring between the human and the animal, as well as the person. I don't expect that to happen. I'd like it to, but I don't see it happening. I see the focus being as it always is in our anthropocentric medical society. The emphasis will be on treating the person. And maybe they'll say to the person, get rid of the dog. The dog is keeping you awake. That is what the problem is. But if the person is depending on that dog for protection, for emotional or physical protection, and we take the dog away, that person's not going to get any better. In fact, that person might get worse.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.